Amen. Thank you, Jan. Those were kind words. Ek sal later regmaak met jou. Just joking. It's good to be here this morning. Yeah, it's my first time in Josh Chen Somerset West. I love the venue. I feel a little bit jealous. We are in a school hall, which is also great, but this is really nice. I don't know. I like it. I hope you like it. We can swap if you don't like it. But it's really great to be here this morning. You answered, my name's Christopher. I'm married to my wife, Lisa, who's somewhere here in the baby room, I think. We've got a 2.5-month-old baby. And now I know that everyone that says that babies are just fun are liars. But they are mostly fun. it's been a joy having a baby. We've been married now for 5 years, just over 5 years. We celebrated our 5-year anniversary a week later by having a baby. So yeah, it's been good, it's been fun, and it's been a growing adventure, and it's been God using marriage and children. God definitely is using marriage and children to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. So that is true. It's great to be here this morning. Thanks to Bimble PM guys for coming through all the way on an open N2. No traffic this morning. Yeah, it's great. And this, just in worship, I was reminded of actually just talking about just like my marriage and where I come from. But I was just reminded, me and my wife, when we got married, and maybe just to encourage, I know the leaders are not here this morning, and I kind of prepared a message directed for you guys. You guys that actually are the flesh of this church. The kind of leaders, in my mind, picture leaders, for they form the bones, but then everyone, the saints, and I'll maybe go into that just a little bit later, but I was reminded of when we just got married, we lived in like a small one bedroom apartment, the kitchen, the living room, and all. It was small, and it was cheap, and it was amazing, and just to encourage you guys, because I think the how old is Josh Chen Somerset West? It can't be more than a year. Is it 2 years? I'm behind. But just to encourage you guys. And it's similar to the congregation where we come from. We often, I think, can look at the bigger congregations like to Sunningdale and even Dibbenville AM, us PM. We also kind of small. But I'm reminded this morning of the glorious beginnings of me and my wife, of that small apartment when it was like there wasn't room for anybody else. There wasn't, like, if we had to have someone over, like, they literally had, we or they had to sleep on the couch. And when they slept on the couch, that was like, the house was full. But I was reminded of actually that was the beginning of our journey. That was the beginning. It was glorious. Now we live in a bigger house and we've got more space and more stuff. But there's, every now and again, I think back and I long back actually for the simplicity of that. So just kind of an encouragement for this congregation not to despise what God is doing. Sometimes it may feel small. Sometimes it may feel like there's not momentum. But enjoy this, because there's going to come a time in the future. There's going to come a time when this hall is going to be too small. I think maybe even some Sundays you already feel that. And then there's going to be a time where you look back and you're going to almost look back like I look back at the beginning of my marriage, like we lived in that small little space. But sometimes that small little space, the simplicity, the beauty, it was just beautiful. It was awesome. So just to encourage you guys, there's going to come a time where this is going to be too small. If God is building His church, then this, so to prepare your hearts and to enjoy every step of the way and to enjoy the journey. And just to maybe briefly explain, or not explain, but briefly just testify, my testimony and my story before I go into the message. And I want to keep it fairly simple this morning, keep it fairly basic. The leaders aren't here. And I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to the saints of this congregation, to the people that make this church what this church is? Leaders are important, but every single person counts. I got saved. I was born again. We are in 2019. I was born again In 2006, when I was in high school, I went to a hostel boarding school. It was in Paul Gymnasium. That's where me and my wife, that's actually where we met in high school, in boarding school. And it was like the circumstances and the atmosphere was not, although it was a Christian school, was not of Christian flavor. put a bunch of guys together in a hostel, you can put Christian before, after, on top and beneath. Put a bunch of guys together that actually don't know Jesus, you can take Christian out of the equation. I learned a lot of things there that swearing, la. That's how I just got. But somehow in the midst of that, God found me, and God, my life was radically transformed. I got saved in high school, in hostel, and there's just amazing things that happened beyond that. And just, I felt a year later after I got saved, felt the call of God on my life to come into, to go into the ministry. And then, yeah, I went to TMT after high school, and then after high school, started working for the church in Wellington before it was actually a Josh Jen congregation. It was a NCMI church, and then we came into Josh Jen, and I stayed on and I worked for the church, became an elder in Wellington in the beginning of 2017, and then about six months later, they transported me to Durbanville. Jaco and Erica that led the church there moved over to Keetmanswip. I'm just grateful that I'm in Durbanville and not Keetmans today. So bless God for all those that live and work and do the ministry in Keetmans, Jaco and Erica. I'm glad. I'll go if God sends me, but I'm glad to be in Durbanville. So yeah. So this morning, like I said, fairly simple, fairly basic. I want to ask the question in the title of my preach: what are we known for? As the church of Josh Jen, Somerset West, what are you known for? And if you look at churches and movements, and I immediately came to my, I went cycling the other day, and every now and again when I cycle, the area where I've got to cycle about 2 kilometers through a residential area before I actually get to the trails, and every second time I see Jehovah's Witnesses witnessing door-to-door evangelism kind of thing. And if I think of Jehovah's Witnesses, they are known for all. If you know what Jehovah's Witnesses, you would know that they are known for their door-to-door evangelism with their interesting interpretations of the Bible. Charismatic churches are known for being happy, clappy, churches fun, and traditional churches are known for being more stiff and more respectful towards God. That's just the general consensus out there. But the question is, what is Josh Jen Somerset? What are we known for? And the greatest challenge in this is that many times we are not necessarily known for what we think we're known for. Many times we want to be known for, come on, as Josh Jen, it's kind of into our idea. We want to be known as a New Testament church. We want to be known as a church that reflects the Christianity of the New. That's our aim. That's our desire. Would you agree with me? But would you agree with me that we don't always get it right? Or probably more often than not, if we read the book, for me, the most challenging book in the Bible to read, it's not Romans. That's theologically, come on, that's like really, theologically really difficult sometimes to understand what's going on there. For me, the most difficult book in the Bible to read is the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts, I'm not confronted with a theology that I don't understand. Now, I'm confronted with people's lives that live radically for Jesus. And it's like, I must be doing something wrong if my life is not looking like that. And so when I read the book of Acts, which I've recently done, I'm tremendously challenged. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we've got a long way to go. We're like, come on, Lord, you need to come and shape, you need to come and do stuff in us as a church, because we are a long way from what we should be, if this is what we should be. Do you agree with me? So as a church, And I think, Josh Jen, we can sometimes even get the tendency to compare ourselves with other churches, and we can really think we're doing well, whereas if we actually compare ourselves with the Bible, we are a long way off of what we should be. What are we known for? Because we cannot measure ourselves as being known for where we're aiming. We've got to actually sometimes stop and audit ourselves and what are we living? If people would walk in here, what would they say? This is the church. You guys are like this and this and this. The book of Acts, interestingly, the book of Acts is the first place, chapter 14. I can't remember the exact verse, but Acts chapter 14 is the first time where the disciples, they were called Christians for the first time. And it's interesting, they were called Christians for two. There's two things that I take note of in that verse, is that it says that they met together for 2 years and the disciples were for the first time called Christians. So there's something of the church meeting together that brings about Christianity, something of us doing this together. And then secondly, the word Christian means little Christ. It means that something of the lives of the people reflected Christ. And it's actually, they were identified as Christians by non-believers, people that weren't disciples. So it's kind of like the unbelievers of town looked at these bunch of people and how they're living, and they thought, there was a guy called Jesus Christ. You guys look like you're following him. Let's call you Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. The people on the outside looked in and said, you are Christians. And it was because they met together, number one, and secondly, their lives reflected Christ. And isn't that beautiful? And today, in our culture, most people identify themselves as a Christian. On Facebook, you have an option. What religion are you? I'm a Christian. No, actually, we should not identify. We should actually live in a way that unbelievers and other people identify us as Christian, as true followers of Christ. You see, and maybe just to get a little bit more lighthearted, I love sport. I love sport. My wife, every now and again, she's like, you know everything that's on the whole time. How do you follow everything? I don't know. I've got an interest in sport. I follow it. I don't watch it all the time, but I know what's going on. So I'm a rugby. I love rugby. One of the sports that I really enjoy. And I'm a Stormers supporter. For those, any Stormers supporters in the house? Okay, a few of us. If you don't know it, they lost again last night. The Stormers, if you would ask the Stormers, what are they known for? Or if you would ask the Western Province Rugby Union, what are you known for? They would tell you, we are known for playing expansive rugby, for playing a beautiful brand of rugby. Now, anyone that have been a supporter of the Stormers the last 5 years would know that is rubbish. I actually took the time. No, I actually wasted my time 2 weekends ago. Went to Newlands to watch the Stormers play the Brumbies, and we lost. And it was a disaster. It was not that they lost. The fact that I actually went, that was the disaster. So you can pray for me in that regard. But secondly, another area that's kind of a disaster at this moment is Manchester United, the other team that I support soccer-wise. If you would ask them, what is Manchester United known for? And they would tell you, Manchester United is known as a world-class football club. Now, anyone that has followed Premier League soccer the last 5 years would tell you that is also rubbish. Because in the last 5 years, we haven't done anything that is noteworthy of being a world-class football club. So those two are just light-hearted illustrations, but the illustration is true. We can say we are known for this, but in reality, if we don't actually live it, if we don't actually flesh it out what we want to be known for, we actually are not known for what we think we're known for. We're known for something less or something different. So what is Josh Jen, Somerset West? What is 412 known for? What is Josh Jen, the big Josh Jen known for? But what is Josh Jen, Somerset West known for? And this is the nice thing, actually, I think, for us new congregations. 2 years a congregation, we are 3 years old, you guys are 2 years old. We are still babies, actually, in this journey. And I think the beautiful thing is that we are still learning. We are still finding our feet. We are still learning to walk. So in other words, what we are known for, in a sense, is not yet fixed. It's not yet set in stone. Josh Jane Somerset West is like that. Or Josh Jane Durbanville PM is like that. Josh Jane Wellington, oh, they're great. They've been the worship there is just awesome. The hospitality in Josh Jane Sunningdale or whatever it is. We are still young. Who we are still actually figuring that out as a body of believers. So we actually, I think we should see this as an opportunity that we are still finding out, in a sense, who we are. We've got an opportunity to live it out. But I wanna make an important point this morning in saying that the responsibility of who we are or who we should be does not rest with the leaders. They are away this morning. I don't know where they are, but they're away. So I made a joke with Richard. He phoned me on because Russell Fraser asked me to come and preach here this morning. So I actually never spoke to Richard. But Richard did phone me on Thursday morning. He phoned me and he said, "Christopher, are you still on for preaching here on Sunday? Just want to make sure everything is good." I said, "Richard, me preaching Somerset West on Sunday? I don't know about that." And you can hear the awkward silence. And then I said, "I'm just joking. I'll be there." I had him 100%. So in that moment, but I want to say, with the leaders not being here, actually, we know theoretically that all of us are. I think if you've been in Josh Jane around long enough, you would know that we emphasize the priesthood of all believers. We emphasize that it's not about superstars on the stage. We emphasize it's not about that. We emphasize that every person brings something to the table. When we pray new believers in or new members in at the gathering, we tell them, "You guys will radically change us. It's not just that we will change you, but you will radically change us." So every person is important. And sometimes I think we actually, as individuals, and this morning I'm addressing people that are not necessarily yet recognized as leaders in the church, and we undervalue/underestimate our role in the life of the church. And I'm going to explain this by just looking. Let's look at Joshua 7 verse 1. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, it's in Romans, "Do not think more highly of yourselves." This morning, I want to encourage you, but not to think too highly of yourself. But I also want to say, I think it's equally true to say, don't think too less of yourself. And I'm going to explain that. Joshua 7 verse 1. "But the people of Israel," listen to this, "the people of Israel," does that sound to you like one person, or does it sound to you like the whole nation is being talked about here? The whole nation. Do you agree with me? All right. "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah. The tribe of Judah took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." One person did something, and to be honest, if I think about it, it doesn't sound like he's doing something like really, really, really wrong. It's like he took something that he should not be taking. Kind of like, in my mind, going to the shop, and you've got no money, and you're super thirsty, "I'm going to take a Coke. And I'm going to try and not pay for that Coke." So probably not the same, but in my mind, it's not like extreme. It's not like one guy did something super, super horrible. No, but one guy went against the commandment of God. If you can go read the whole story before that and up until that point. But one person did something, and it says that the anger of the Lord burned against the whole nation. Joshua 7 verse 10 to 12. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel, Not Achan. God says, not Achan is the one that sinned. Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I command them. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before the enemies. They turn their backs before the enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. That's actually very scary. One guy did something. Israel goes into battle and they lose the battle. Why? Because God says that, no, I don't see this as one person sinning. I see it as the whole nation sinning against me. And I want to use that, and I think it's, we can pull that through into the life of the church. One person can swing a whole church. Good or bad. In this instance, we're talking in the negative of it, but I think the positive is equally true. One person being faithful in his marriage. One person being faithful in business, not doing deals crookedly. One person going out of their way to showing kindness and hospitality to others can swing a church. Equally, one person choosing not to be faithful in their marriage. One person choosing to do that deal under the table that no one sees. One person can swing a church. One person can cause God to say, I'm against that church. And so I want to say that we underestimate and undervalue the power of what we can actually, what we bring to the life of a church. And it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. But what we do and who we are and how we live as individuals in the life of a congregation is important before God. You have the opportunity, you have the power to swing a congregation, whether you've got the badge that says leader or not leader. Achan wasn't necessarily a leader, but his sin caused God to say, Israel has sinned against me. I am not for Israel. Amen? But like I said, the other way, it's like when you do stuff for God, when you live for God, it swings the life of a church. When you decide to pour out your life for Jesus, when you on Tuesday night late, when that phone call rings, somebody is needing help, and you're tired and you don't want to get out of bed, but when you make that choice to get out of bed to in the uncomfortable cold winter to go over and to pray for someone, God sees that and God says, "I will honor that. I will." One person can swing the favor of God on the life of a church. But yeah, we need to. So there are many things, obviously, in the Bible. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and there's many things that we can say this morning that what we as a church need to be known for. We need to be known for as a joyful church, as a holy church. And I agree. There's too many things to cover. But this morning, I wanna try and keep it simple and basic, and I wanna name four things that we. From the Bible that we as a church, as Josh Jane Somerset West, but as Josh Jane globally, that I believe God wants us to be known for. Now, Matthew 16 verse 18 says the following, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail again." So, that is written as a fact. Jesus is building his church. Can we all agree? If you agree with me, say amen. Jesus is building his church, and that means it will happen. The question is, are we going to be part of the church that he is building? I believe we are, but then we need to align with how he is building. And we need to look at the things that, what will Jesus be looking for in us as a church? And what does he want us to be known for in this world, in this area? Number one, and it's been the theme in Josh Jane from the beginning of the year that Andrew has really on his heart at the elders camp. He's talked on it at the gatherings from the beginning. This has really been a theme the beginning of this year. Is I believe as a church we need to be known for our intimacy with Jesus. Acts 4 verse 13 says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter." Sorry, I need to put my phone on silent. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And they recognized, this is not Christians, this is again other people looking at Peter and John, and they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. You see, to illustrate this point, I don't know, those of you that know Leonard Stradom, he's an elder in Josh in Stellenbosch. I think he's preached here one or twice before. We are good friends. We are very good friends. We did Bible school together. I was one of the best men at his wedding. He was one of the best men at my wedding. So, and ever since Bible school, we've been really close. But when we're together, we're kind of in another zone. You know, those of you that would have like a close friend that you sometimes, you're just in another zone. You fool around, you make jokes. There's inside jokes all the time. So when I got married, my wife had to tell me, jokingly, of course, she had to tell me a couple of times, listen, I'm not Leonard. Don't treat me like Leonard. I'm your wife. But in a joking way, not in any, like, you can believe me this morning. So she's there, so she knows, she can testify. But in a sense, when he's also married now, so we've moved on from that teenage phase, or that phase as students where we were fooling around all the time. We've grown more serious over the years, so and more mature, hopefully. So, but whenever we're together, or we're together in that sense as friends, and we shared a room in TMT days and things, there's this sense that people would know, okay, yeah, we've spent a lot of time together in the way, and in the same way, people need to recognize that we had been with Jesus. And someone that has been with Jesus for me is someone like, we've got the elections coming up. Someone that has been with Jesus talks more about Jesus and God's kingdom than about the political state of our nation, to use an example. And I believe we need to pray for our politics, and we need to pray for the election and things. But ultimately, someone that had been with Jesus is not concerned so much about the state of our nation, about than people going to hell, and we need to build God's kingdom on the earth. Someone that had been with Jesus, for me, is someone that doesn't buckle under pressure when the heat gets on. Someone that had been with Jesus is someone that seems to be unattached to the things of this world. The things of this world seems to be unimpressive. To, you know, sometimes you actually, that's just me. Sometimes I'm in the presence of a person that's really close with Jesus. And actually, sometimes it's actually very irritating. You kind of like, because you're confronted with your own sinfulness. You're confronted with your own like, oh man, this guy is so holy. This guy is so, he's living for Jesus. What am I doing with my life? Have you ever listened to someone's story and you think, like you've been a Christian for a long time and you think, actually, if I listen to your story, I need to get born again. Because it's just like the way you live for God and the way I live for God, I actually need to seriously man up and actually lay my life down all over again. And someone that had been with people when they come into, and we actually, in our culture, most people that we come into contact with has been exposed to some form of Christianity. And so actually our lives need to be radically in the face of other people. And people need to not just recognize we are Christians. No, people need to recognize that we had been with Jesus. And there's no other way than that, than by being having an intimate relationship with Jesus, by spending time with Jesus. And that's the first. If people come in here and they recognize we're awesome, we've got awesome worship, oh, look at the cool venue, the hospitality, the coffee. If those are the things that people end up raving about, it's okay if it's one Sunday, but if that becomes the thing that people rave about us, then there's a problem. People need to come in here and they need to come out and they need to rave about us. Whether they're going to stay or not stay, because for some people that's really uncomfortable. But they need to rave about the fact that these people really, really, really love Jesus. They really do. They're not, Jesus is not just there to make their lives better. No, these people are serious about living for Jesus. And these people, I get the sense of, and I'm not sure if I'm comfortable. And they actually, when, actually life with Jesus is not comfortable. So when people come in here and they recognize that you had been with Jesus, they should feel in a way uncomfortable because life around Jesus is not comfortable. Amen? The second thing that we as a church need to be known for is our love for one another. John 13 verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, this is what Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus said, Jesus wants us to be known for our love for one another. And that is hard, I think. Because it's easy for me to love someone I like. For me, for example, me and Johan. We've got similar interests. Johan also loves sport. Johan invites me on, we've got a call it a date. The 18th of May. We're not going to go watch the Stormers play at Newlands. We're going to go watch the Crusaders play against the Stormers at Newlands. So there's a difference. So we've got similar interests. For me, I like braaiing. Johan likes braaiing. We like both like sport. It's easy for me to connect with Johan. It's not effort for me to love Johan. But there's a lot of people in our church that's very different to Johan. That we don't share the same interest, the same life things that we like. But I'm called to love them. Our love for one another is not based on interests. It's not based on hobbies. It's not even based on that we speak the same language. I'm actually Afrikaans, and there's a lot of English people in our congregation. I'm called to love them, regardless of our language difference. Regardless of, there's a lot of people in our congregation that's from another skin color. I'm called to love them because the love of God doesn't make any differences or doesn't differentiate between those kind of things. You see, the world out there say, "Yeah, but we all love each other." No, actually what the world out there, what they do is, it's all the people of the same interests. They get together and then they love each other. And it's not hard to love someone that's got the same interests as you. It's actually when people are different. And that's the church. And that's the beauty of the church, is we are different. Amen? You just need to walk into someone else's house to know that you're different. They do things differently. They think differently. But the beauty of the church is that people that are different love each other. And by that, Jesus says, the world will recognize that the church is followers of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4 verse 19. We love, someone prayed this in the prayer meeting. We love because He first loved us. Isn't that beautiful? The basis of our love for one another is not in our own strength. It's not in anything of ourselves. The only way we can truly love someone else is to recognize that first Jesus loved us undeservedly. No, nothing we did. No, our love for people is not based on how people treat us. It's not based on whether that person buys me a coffee on Sunday. It's not based on whether that person greets me or not greet. No, our love for one another is primarily and purely based on this one thing. Jesus loved us first. The third thing that I believe that Jesus wants His church to be known for, the first one was intimacy, the second one is love for one another. The third one I believe that Jesus wants His church to be known for is for unity. John 17 verse 20 to 23, Jesus praying to His Father, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe. Again, Jesus says, something about you is going to be a picture to the world. so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, and they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. You see, my wife said this the other day. It's actually interesting, like us peoples, we look at, I don't know, I like to sit at the airport or a coffee shop and I like to watch people. And my wife made an interesting comment the other day. She said, like, look, everyone is actually so the same, but so different. And when I think about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I think they're radically different from each other. They're one, but they are radically, I think even to the, I'm not sure if this is theologically correct, but I think even to the degree that they are more different than we as humans are different from each other. But the unity is perfect. Their love for one another is perfect. And I believe God is saying that as a church, we reflect Him when we are unified. And again, our unity is not based on whether we've got the same likes or the same dislikes, whether we like the same kind of food or whatever. Our unity is not based on the fact that we are all cookie cutted in the same way. Now, our unity is based on Jesus, that we share this one thing, that all of us build our lives on this solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. That is our unity. One heart, one mind, one purpose. That we live for the same thing. We live for Jesus Christ. Our lives are surrendered to Him. And where there's unity, Psalm 133, I'm not going to read it, but where there's unity, Jesus, God, commands a blessing. Amen? The fourth thing and the last thing that I want to say this morning, that Jesus wants His church to be known for, is He wants His church to be known as disciple makers. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I believe the church that Jesus is looking for needs to be characterized by purpose and mission. We're not just here for ourselves. Amen? Someone said it. I can't remember. I actually mentioned in a preach in Devonport PM earlier. The church is the only organization in the world that exists for the purpose of those that are not yet part of it. And I think we're missing a crucial ingredient of who Jesus is when we exist primarily for ourselves. When we sit and say, you know what? This is actually really comfortable. I like these people. We worship the same God. It's cozy. I don't want this church to grow, because that means more work, more issues, more baggage, more people, and it's got more effort. Actually, I like this because this is cozy. This is nice. No, that's not the church Jesus. The church Jesus is building is constantly growing. Why? Because the people in the church live on mission. Live because they know that this earth will pass away. Interesting, those of you might have seen it on Russell's Facebook post a while ago. But Johannesburg, Cape Town, Johannesburg, is the 11th busiest domestic flight in the world. You know that? Now you know. The busiest domestic flight in the world. Who of you have flown Cape Town, Johannesburg? Either ways. I think many of us. Who of you have flown like long, 8 hours plus? Okay, a couple of us. There's a big difference. You would agree with me, hey? Flying locally, Cape Town, Johannesburg, then flying a long flight. And like, imagine someone getting in next to you, Cape Town, Johannesburg. Someone getting in into your plane, like, and you can see, like, they don't know that this is going to be a short flight. And they stay, can I please get a TV? Can I please get a headset? I'm gonna watch a movie. I'm gonna watch Lord of the Rings, 3 hours. The flight's only 2 hours, but I'm gonna watch it. or whatever, the Avengers Endgame or whatever. So I want a nice meal. I want and you would like eventually come to a point where you would tell them, listen, this is not a long flight. Just sit down, read a book or something, but this is not long. You actually have only an hour and 30 minutes to do something, because 15 minutes in the beginning of the flight and 15 minutes in the end of the flight, you've got to sit quiet with your seatbelt on and do nothing. So actually, there's no time for sleeping. There's no time for getting comfortable, because this is a short flight. Now, people in this world, in the same way, they live life as if this life is all there is. They're trying to get comfortable in a short 2-hour flight, thinking it's a 12-hour flight. For those of you that have flown on an 11, 12-hour flight, there you can get comfortable. You can kick your shoes out. You can get a blankie, get comfy. You can put on the socks they give you. I don't like those socks anyway, but you can do that if you like them. You can put things over your eyes. You can sit back, relax, because the flight is long. You can watch 4 movies if you want to. So you can get comfortable, but the time on this earth is actually so short compared to eternity. Our job actually is, we're actually surrounded with people that want to get comfortable, that want to sit back, relax, and just, oh, this is so great. Oh, flying Cape Earth. No, we need, our job is, we as the church, we need to be characterized. We need to be known as those that go to people saying, hey, wake up. This is actually, we're actually there. Are you ready to get off this plane? Because we actually have arrived. Our job is to tell people. We need to be characterized by mission. Our job is to tell people not to get comfortable. You can be really happy, but still go to hell. Happily go to hell. When you get there, you're not going to be happy anymore. But there's no point in living for happiness. We are surrounded by people that want to get comfortable, that want to settle for a happy life. Our job as the church is to warn them, is to tell them, listen, the flight is short. Get ready. We are arriving soon. So those are the 4 things that I want to leave us with today. Number 1, intimacy with Jesus. Number 2, love for one another. Number 3, a church that is unified. Number 4, a church that's on mission, making disciples. And with the leaders away this weekend, I want to say that those 4 things is every single person's responsibility. And I think we all believe that theoretically, but many times, and as a church leader, I see people sitting back saying, you know, I'm going to wait for my leaders to do that. And I want to, today your leaders are not here. So I want to encourage you today to say, to take up your place in this body of Christ. To take up your place and to say, you know what? God has placed me here. I've got something to bring. I've got a role to fulfill. I've got a function to do. No one else is going to do what God has called me to do in this body. Amen? I don't have 2 thumbs. And I hope no one else does. But that I don't have 2 groot tone. Now, our body consists of many ones. And there's 2 thumbs, but they're on 2 different hands. But my point is this, that there's a place in the body of Christ for you. No one else, if you don't rise up and fulfill what God has called you to do in this body of Christ, it's not like there's going to be lack, because no one else can do what God has called you to do. And in that sense, I want to remind us, let's not think of ourselves too highly. But that's normally the place where leaders fall into. Because they're confident and they're like, oh, God has called me and yeah, I can do this. I'm God's best gift to the earth. Praise God for me. That's the temptation of leaders. The temptation of people that naturally are not leaders, are the following. You know what? I'm just going to be in the background. I'm just going to be background music. No, no, no. God has not called any one of us to be background music. All of us have got a place in His story. All of us have got a something to bring, something to contribute. And if you don't contribute that, the church is going to suffer. If my foot suddenly decides not to work, I've got a problem. And so every one of us are important. Amen.